Hey guys, this is Kenan Thompson. I have a problem with you. Yes, you. None of y'all told me that Auto Trader has millions of new and used cars that I can shop from home. I thought we were friends. I put smiles on your face, but I'm not smiling. No one told me that with Auto Trader, a dealer can deliver cars to my home or that I could shop by price on Auto Trader. No one. Consider this friendship that you just learned we had officially over. Finally, it's easy. Auto Trader.
Getting to know yourself can be a lifelong process, especially since you're always growing and changing. Therapy is all about deepening that self-awareness, because sometimes you don't know what you really want until you talk things through. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online who can take you on that journey of self-discovery from wherever you are. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/positive.
As exhibitions go, I can't imagine one that would be more entertaining than what we just saw. Not even the Major League Baseball All-Star Game, which I generally enjoy because it's a matchup of superstars, can't top what we saw on Tuesday evening in Miami to culminate with a battle between an MVP candidate every year and his superstar teammate. One pitching for Japan, one in the batter's box for Team USA in a one-run affair down to their last hopes were the Americans, and it was Mike Trout versus Shohei Ohtani. Wow. As in wow. The superstars, the interest, both teams lined up on the top step, hanging out over the railing. A 3-2 advantage for Japan after some missed opportunities by Team USA. 36,000 plus at full throat in Miami. We'll see whether or not the Marlins even get one game like that. And it all boiled down to that incredible matchup between two teammates. Two Angels teammates, at least for this year. Well, at least for the first half of the year. I hope it remains that way, but we don't know what will happen with Shohei Ohtani in the future. Just that this was glorious. Man, I loved it. It did feel like the electricity of a playoff game. And in many ways, for the teams that have participated in the WBC, it had the same adrenaline, the same excitement, the same pomp and circumstance with the flags on the field, the player introductions. I don't know if you saw it, but on Twitter, or was there a reporter inside, or it actually might have been a PR rep, inside the Japanese locker room, which, wow, they're pretty impressive locker rooms and lounges. And Shohei delivers the pregame speech for Team Japan. And he was very complimentary of Team USA, but said, let's stop admiring them. We came here to surpass them, to reach the top. So for this one night, let's put the admiration aside. And yes, I'm paraphrasing. And let's accomplish the goal that we set when we started this WBC. The U.S. was on top first with another Trey Turner home run. Japan answered, and there were some tense moments. But very enjoyable. I loved the atmosphere. Don't tell my yoga instructor, but while she was on Zoom on a stool in front of the TV, I had the baseball classic on behind her. And so in my reflection on the computer. So if you've ever done a Zoom room, you know that the person who's talking, well, you could set it up this way. The person who's talking takes up the majority of the screen. And then you have the other smaller windows with the various people who are participating in the call. And I could see the reflections of the TV and the light and then the dark on my face and on my little window. I hope my yoga instructor did not see it. But I had to watch. I couldn't miss this. Shohei Ohtani's first relief appearance since 2016. And he went back and forth to the bullpen. He warmed up. Then he went back to hit. Then he went back out to the bullpen to warm up again before taking the mound in the ninth inning against Team USA. I hope you enjoyed it. I saw a bunch of your tweets. A-Law Radio also, I haven't checked Facebook yet, but I'm sure considering that we'd had a bunch of people buzzing about the baseball, some of you enjoyed it there as well. So congratulations to Team Japan, Samurai Japan, 7-0 in the World Baseball Classic. And don't tell them it doesn't matter. Is it exhibition? Yes. But as I was asked by a student in a college class to whom I spoke on Tuesday morning, oh man, I'm so upside down right now. As I was asked and answered about the World Baseball Classic and its role on the international stage, I really complimented the energy, the enthusiasm, the excitement for the majority of the nations that participated. And as Americans, while we have a plethora of options, and there's something for everyone in this country when it comes to sports, and it seems like they're all happening right now in this springtime, this spring fling, this World Baseball Classic is the best thing going in many of the nations around the world. And these are household names. Can't say that about the majority of the players in the MLB. It's become a much more regional sport in the United States. Sure, we know the best and brightest. But in some of the Hispanic countries, and certainly as we saw in the Asian countries, it matters to these players to get a chance to wear the name of their nation across their chests and to play with others who've traveled a similar path, to play with others who've managed to reach what is the dream league, right? Major League Baseball, and have made a life and a career and have made hopefully the future so much better for their families in many cases. So I'm happy for them. I really love the spirit. And we'll get through all the various details, but I hope that you enjoyed it too. It was tight. It was tense. Not something you'd expect in mid-March. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Man, I just want to see Ohtani and Mike Trout on the postseason stage. It's kind of cool to see an Ohtani so expressive and emotional. And Trout did stand in front of a glut of reporters and answer questions after the game. So we'll let you hear from him. Just please stay healthy in 23. That's all I ask. Is it too much to ask? So on Twitter, After Hours CBS, on our Facebook page too, we've already got the post up where you can send your questions for Ask Amy Anything. It's part of the Hump Show, middle show of the work week. I happen to see, because I get notifications when famous people send tweets, I happen to see that Amy Trask sent in a question. How about that? A different Amy, part of Team Amy. We have the longtime Raiders CEO and NFL analyst on the show every now and then, and she actually submitted a question for Ask Amy Anything. What? I feel like we've made it now. We've made it, peeps. So you too can be like Amy Trask, cool like Amy Trask. Those questions again to Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on our Facebook page. Last week, producer Jay had something going on. Someone was late to work. Someone got in trouble. Someone got pulled over by the cops. And so he was doing another job. And I was answering the questions on my own. But barring any colossal missteps and miscues by our coworkers, he should be back in the saddle. Our phone number, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. The games all carried on FS1, and they had a real professional feel to them with their top announcing crew And then I managed to find the games on radio as well on SiriusXM MLB radio. You can hear the buzz. And that's, I think, my favorite part is how locked in the fans were. And the fact that in March, now the weather's usually great in Florida in March, which is why they do the whole spring training there. The whole Grapefruit League thing. And so there's a lot of reasons to show up, but it was really neat to see how diverse the crowds. And it seemed split. It just seemed loud all the time, regardless of what was happening. Whether Team USA was jumping out on top or Japan was answering, it certainly seemed like the fans were hanging on every pitch and every moment.
Lifts his ball down the left field line. Has Trey Turner done it again in the championship? You bet he has. Murakami drives a ball to deep right field and ties the game in the blink of an eye. High drive left center field. Mullins on his horse to the track at the wall. It's gone. Okamoto goes deep and Japan grows its lead.
So on Fox Sports 1, Joe Davis with the calls. And yeah, Trey Turner starts it off with a home run. But Japan has answered. They've answered the bell every single time. There were moments where the United States was poised and I thought was going to come through with a big hit. There was an inning-ending double play. There was a pop-up by Kyle Schwarber at one point with, I think, two runners on base then. They had opportunities and just couldn't build a rally, couldn't build that momentum. Though it wasn't over, game still hanging in the balance in the late stages.
Into double digits in this at-bat, the 10th pitch. Fly to right field, Kondo turns, there it goes! Straighten it out, second deck, one-run game.
Now by this time, you already had reporters and analysts on social media counting ahead, anticipating a relief appearance by Shohei Ohtani in the 9th inning. So this was the 8th inning with the Kyle Schwarber solo home run that pulled the Americans within a run. And so when that happens, it becomes kind of the popular opinion that Yu Darvish would finish the 8th if he could for Japan. And Shohei Ohtani, who had warmed up multiple times or was warming up again at this point, that he would take over in the 9th, which he did. First, it was Jeff McNeil, and gosh, a ball that was nearly 102 miles per hour, a fastball from Shohei Ohtani. He actually issued a walk to Jeff McNeil. But then Mookie Betts grounds into a double play. We were already assured of getting Mike Trout because he was third going into the top of the 9th inning. He was scheduled to hit third. But it's bases empty, a one-run game, top of the 9th, 2 out for Mike Trout. And this at-bat goes 6 pitches. And of course, it has to be a full count.
We've reached the limit. 3-2, 2 outs, top 9. U.S. down a run. Ohtani set. Trout ready. The 3-2 pitch. Trout swings and misses. And Japan wins the 2023 WBC. Ohtani fires his helmet towards the dugout. He's mobbed on the mound by his teammates. And Japan goes undefeated in winning the championship tonight, 3-2.
That's the call on SiriusXM MLB Network Radio with Mike Farron. 6 pitches from Shohei Ohtani, 4 of them over 100 miles per hour. But the one that got the strikeout that set down his Angels teammate, a slider. Cunning, clever, and man, that was fun to watch. But also fun to hear. If you're a radio junkie like me, a lot of times the atmosphere, the electricity, some of these big sporting events, gosh, hearing the play-by-play, hearing the highlights, it just blows me away. It gives me chills. It was an exhibition, but it was worth the time, and we got the can't-miss moment, must-see TV between Ohtani and Mike Trout to wrap up. And yes, Ohtani and Team Japan get the best of the United States, but they were perfect in this tournament, and they had, if not the best player, at least one of the best. Man, they performed well when they needed to. The walk-off against Mexico in the semifinals, such a flair for the dramatic for Team Japan. But how about Mike Trout on that battle with his teammate in the ninth inning?
He won round one. No, it's, you can't take anything away from it. Just to be able to come out of the bullpen, you know, as a starter, and you know, it's showtime. So it's you know, hats off to them guys over there. It was a tough night for us, but we'll be back.
As for Team USA, with all of its big superstars, Trey Turner comes through. We know Paul Goldschmidt had some big moments. Kyle Schwarber, of course, with some huge hits. Maybe it doesn't matter as much to the Americans, but when we heard guys talk about it, like Adam Wainwright and others, they were enjoying the stage. It was a blast for them to be able to wear the red, white, and blue in a capacity that they might not otherwise. Mark DeRosa served as the manager, and though there were missed opportunities, it's a positive experience all around for Team USA.
The baseball world won tonight. Although those guys are disappointed in there, I couldn't be prouder of them, the way they came together as a team, from getting together 2.5 weeks ago, all the things that happened along the way, tough games, easy games, whatever it was. They truly started to bond and enjoy being around each other. But, I mean, if you were going to write a script, I was hoping it was going to go our way with Mikey Popham won against Ohtani. But, like I said, I mean, the baseball world, this thing is real. The WBC is real. The whole world got to see Ohtani come in, big spot, battling. It's kind of how it was kind of scripted. I just wish it would have went different.
Of course, of course. And I wonder if the end of spring training will feel lackluster, lukewarm after this. Wait until you hear the Japanese call of the final out, Ohtani versus Mike Trout. And actually, if you haven't seen it, FS1 is re-airing the game, and they just got to the top of the ninth. So it's there and it's available. And we have a lot more to get to. Ja Morant back with the Memphis Grizzlies, practicing for the first time in advance of what is expected to be his return on Wednesday. The Celtics end their season-long road trip on a high note with a victory over the Kings, an exceptional second half, though it's not been easy for the Celtics in the fourth quarter. What's behind those woes? Sometime woes. We'll ask Sean Grandy, longtime radio voice, who's also doing a bunch of TV games for NBC Sports Boston this season. Plus, Austin Eckler explaining why he's not satisfied, not upset at the Chargers, but also not willing to play for them if they can't get a new contract worked out. And a couple of hires in men's college basketball, the one that's grabbing the most attention, Rick Pitino, with a 6-year deal to take over at St. John's. And he is still Rick Pitino to the core. So we have a lot that we're going to get to on this edition of the show. But don't forget, ask Amy anything. So we need your questions on our show Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on our Facebook page. Just getting started. Hope you are with us for the hump show. We'll launch it forward into your hump day. Who got to get through this midsection. Got to get through this middle show of the work week. It was a doozy. I think I maybe had a couple of naps of an hour and a half each on Tuesday. It's my own fault. I did it with my eyes open, but it was another one of those non-sleep days. So if I say something ridiculous, just nod and smile. That's it. Just nod and smile. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS.
It's March, and that can mean only one thing. The madness is here. Not in front of a TV on game day? Listen to every round of NCAA March Madness live from Westwood One, free in the Odyssey app. Catch all the biggest moments of the tournament, no matter where you are, from Cinderella's.
A 15 seed will head to the Elite Eight.
To buzzer beaters.
Atkinson scores. 1.4 seconds left.
To champions.
For the fourth time.
Search for NCAA March Madness right here in the Odyssey app to get started.
Yes, Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Full count. Otani ka? Trout ka?
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Final call of the World Baseball Classic Championship game as Japan hangs on and survives Team USA. And that is the strikeout of Shohei Ohtani over his Angels teammate, Mike Trout. It was a slider that got him, but four of the six pitches in that at bat, in that battle, were over 100 miles per hour. In fact, I'm watching it again right now on FS1. They're literally showing the final at bat. They had replayed the game, and this is how often it happens that I'm watching what I'm talking about at the same time. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. 36,058 fans, they counted every last one, there in Miami for this championship. It was a sellout. It has been a series of sellouts for these games in the knockout stages. Japan ends up running through the tournament undefeated. And because most of the Japanese players either don't speak English or don't speak English publicly. For instance, we know that Shohei speaks very good English, but isn't as comfortable speaking it with a microphone in front of his face. I certainly understand that. For the most part, it's been Lars Nootbaar who has served as the mouthpiece, at least for American TV and radio, right? So when American broadcasts want to get any type of a reaction to Team Japan, it's Lars who ends up, just watching the final strike again. My goodness, it was wicked, and the celebration was intense. Sorry about that. I couldn't help it. Lars Nootbaar is a guy who was so grateful to have the chance to play for Japan and has been really open about the fact that half the time he can't understand what the rest of the guys are saying. But for American broadcasts, he's been the go-to when our own, say, FS1 or MLB Network needed a comment of sorts. And yeah, he was in awe of Ohtani the entire tournament, but certainly the way that he came in and pitched the ninth in a save situation.
We're watching something that we'll never probably see again and we've never seen before. The guy is unbelievable, man. Like, he's something that I've never seen, and I'm just so thankful I was on his team.
And from the category of you can't make this stuff up. Now, there were a couple of guys who said, just like we drew it up, just like it was scripted, yada, yada. I'm, of course, going to tell you they were being hyperbolic. It was not scripted or drawn up that way. It's just more of a reference to this is exactly what we wanted to see. It's the movie script of sorts. But it did come down to Shohei versus his Angels teammate, Mike Trout.
You knew it was going to. As soon as you saw Trout up there in third, the script was written, man. It was already written, and that's how it was going to be. It was Trout versus Ohtani, 3-2 count, two outs, ninth inning. Unbelievable, man.
Unbelievable, man. It definitely was. If you are jonesing for baseball and you're already looking ahead to opening day, which is 9 days away or 8 days away, depending upon which time zone you're in, It's all 30 teams on March 30th. This certainly whet your appetite. And I hope that there's the same spirit and the same excitement, the same energy and buzz around the majors, not just for opening day, because that's fairly standard, but for these early stages of the baseball season. It's a long haul. It's 162 games. You can't expect to have that type of energy and intensity and sense of urgency, because there's no way they could carry it through for 162 games. And I actually prefer that baseball is calmer at times, right? So the middle of the season, the dog days of summer, it's a great soundtrack for my summer. I always enjoy going to the ballpark, and I look for longer games. I hope for longer games, because you just kind of soak it in and it lowers my heart rate, honestly. But this type of intensity, the kind that we normally see in October, was pretty amazing and just a fun blip in the month of March. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. Still to come, Ja Morant speaking for the first time since in a group setting. He did the one-on-one with Jalen Rose last week, very much a controlled setting. Not the case on Tuesday as he practiced with the Grizzlies for the first time in advance of his return. After a couple of weeks away, he was going through a Florida counseling program, and so he talks about why and what he took away from that, and also the changes that he's trying to make in his life. What was supposed to be a clash between two of the top teams in the NBA turned into a lopsided affair in Sacramento. And we've got some great football to dot the landscape as always. Even as we hit our update here at the bottom of the hour, we're looking for your questions for Ask Amy Anything. You too can be like Amy Trask, who submitted her question tonight. That was super cool. Good to hear from her, I guess, on social media. But either on Twitter, After Hours CBS, or on our Facebook page, you can send your questions and producer Jay will be perusing as we get closer to the midway point of the show. We'll drudge that up for you. Top of the hour, Sean Grandy with the Boston Celtics from Sacramento. So this night is going to fly by. I keep telling myself that because I had a Marco day. And I know this because Marco is always talking to me about how he rarely sleeps more than 90 minutes at a time. It's pretty spotty. But I had one of those days, and I can't blame anyone. I'm not blaming anyone. I had agreed to speak to a college class over video, so it wasn't in person, but it was at 11 o'clock Eastern time. So I get in bed at 8, thinking I could get a quick nap. But because I know I have to get up, I don't sleep well, right? Mm-hmm. That's just my mind that plays tricks on me. So I sleep about, an hour and 45 minutes. Then I have to wake up, and I'm not one of those people that shows up for Zoom calls with my hair in a hat or, you know, looking like a slob. So I at least have to get dressed from the top up. I've got to put, you know, jewelry, do my hair, a little bit of eye makeup just so I don't look like I have no eyelashes. And I get on this call, and it's, you know, it's a full hour of talking to students. It was great. I'm glad I did it. It was a favor to a former colleague who's the professor. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to say no, but I had to drink coffee in order to do it because there was no way I was going to be coherent if I didn't drink coffee. So then, of course, I couldn't fall back asleep till about, 2:30 in the afternoon when I get another 90-minute nap before the dog thinks, hey, this is the time we get up, Mama. Are you ready, Mama? And so, you know, it was one of those kinds of days.
Aren't they?
Oh, no. Do I look like I got pulled out of a cow's rear end?
Nope.
Never mind. Don't answer that question.
Not even a little bit.
I love that Marco knows convention. You never tell a woman that, in fact, she does look like death warmed over.
This is true, but I actually wouldn't have noticed.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. All right. We'll transition to hoops a little bit coming up here, but we're glad to have you with us on the Hump Show.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Leonard, caught at by Dort, 7 seconds, retreats, well beyond the arc, 5 seconds. Leonard gets another screen from Morris, slashes right, spins, 1 second, grinds left, pump fakes and fires, didn't get off in time, the Thunder win! Lu Dort locks up! Kawhi Leonard, Thunder winning in Los Angeles, 101-100. Oh, Lu brings the Dortcher chamber to the fray! And straight jackets Kawhi Leonard, mano a mano, preserving a Thunder gutty 101-100 victory over the Clippers. Wow.
bad news if you are the Los Angeles Clippers. This is the last thing you want to hear right now. So they end up with what was a stunning one-point loss against the Oklahoma City Thunder. Now, Thunder, weirdly enough, are right there at 500 with about half of the Western Conference. Clippers are slightly ahead of them. So they end up with what is a stunning loss to the Thunder, and this is taking place in L.A., and so it's a missed buzzer beater by Kawhi Leonard. But the bigger news is that Paul George crumples into a heap on the court late in this game with what appears to be a knee injury. And that obviously could derail whatever hopes they might have for the postseason. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. It's just scary to hear it. And I know it's always a possibility in sports, but man, he and Kawhi have been through so many injury challenges and have missed time over the last couple of years.
SGA drives left, bends off, step back 18-footer, short. George with a good rebound. Oh, George just goes down hard. A foul's going to be called. George just got undercut, and he's in pain. Dort got into his landing space, and this is the last thing the Clippers are looking for.
So initially, you hear Thunder radio with the end of the game. That is Clippers radio with Noah Eagle on the call. And here's what Ty Lue offered up right after the game about PG-13.
I saw it, but I mean, they still being reevaluated right now. So, but I did see it. I didn't even know it looked like that until Dante just showed me. So I didn't even know.
Did you get to talk to him at all? See,
no, I haven't seen him.
I haven't spoken to him yet. And I didn't see the play. I thought he just got hit in the face at the time. They stayed down for a while. So, yeah.
So it's hard to hear Kawhi there after Ty Lue, but he thought that Paul got hit in the face, though he did stay down on the court for a while in the fourth quarter. Let's hope it's not serious. But again, there's this trepidation and this fear because of how late in the regular season this takes place. He got fouled by Lue Dort. There's under 5 minutes to go, and he was down on his back for several minutes before he needed help to get up to his feet. And then one of those situations where you've got people on either side of him who are supporting him and getting him off the court and to the locker room. And if you see it on TV or if you check it out on social media, because the clip is out there as well, he didn't appear as though he was putting any weight on his leg, which is scary. So Dort himself said he went up for a rebound, kind of hit him in the leg. It was incidental contact. It wasn't something that he did on purpose. We're not talking dirty play. But every now and then, the NBA is still a contact sport, and these things can and do happen. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. So the Western Conference is a total crapshoot. Even with the Nuggets being the only team that's clinched a playoff spot from the West, and even as the Grizzlies have stabilized a bunch and separated themselves from the Sacramento Kings a smidge, and they're about to get Ja Morant back on the court, they've won three in a row. I think they've won 6 of 7 the last time I looked without Ja. The Kings are sitting in the third place spot, though they've dropped 2 in a row. The rest of the West is what is at this point fascinating. Almost like watching a train wreck. You just don't know what's going to happen from night to night. The Phoenix Suns sit in fourth place all the way down to the Lakers and the Pelicans at 11th and 12th. It's very tight. It's 3.5 games that separate all those teams. And so, yes, every single one of these games now carries major implications. I'm not going to say every game matters, because that's the case for all of them. If you end up losing your division or you miss out on the playoffs by 0.5 game, well, you could trace that back to your very first games in the month of October, early November. Those games all count the same. It's just that you don't have as much time anymore to make up for a slip here or a slip there. And so the lack of real estate remaining in the regular season is what gives this an extra sense of urgency. Now, Sacramento has had this incredible season, assured of being a team that will finish above 500. It's been a while for them in the playoffs, and though they haven't clinched yet, you would certainly expect that they are going to get there, but ran into a buzzsaw against the visiting Celtics just a few hours ago.
Tatum,
behind his back, behind a Horford screen, splits the double team, finds Smart into the corner, Jaylen Brown for three. Yes, sir! Tatum into the front court, straight up the middle, watched by Barnes. Behind the screen, there's the double team. Grant Williams to the corner, Derek White for three. Count it! 19-point game. Brown to the right. Brown, pass in the middle, White on the baseline, scored, and a foul for Tatum, who flushed it two-handed. Beautiful pass by Derek White in the lane.
It was a strong surge to come out of the halftime locker room that put the major separation between the Celtics and the Kings, and they end up with 132 points. Jason Tatum with a real strong game, 36 points for him, 27 for Jaylen Brown. The big news is that they get Robert Williams off the bench now, but he's healthy. I think he returned after an 8-game absence. And so that's been a critical piece for the Celtics. They've had guys on and off the court and in and out of their starting lineup, as most teams have at this point. But at the top of the hour, Sean Grandy, who did Celtics TV tonight in Sacramento, I'll ask him about what's been this road trip, season-long road trip, 6 games for the Celtics that featured highs like this victory against the Kings, but also lows, losing what was a nearly 20-point lead against the Utah Jazz, but also losing to the Houston Rockets. And so there have been definite moments where the wild swings for the Celtics would be enough to make you seasick, though they are still one of the top teams in the East. So Sean Grandy will join us top of the hour from Sacramento. Joe Mazzulla, he's okay with the team finishing the road trip 4-2.
If it wasn't 9 games before the regular season was over, and if we weren't in first place the entire year, and this road trip was at the beginning of the year and we were 4-2, everybody would be happy. And so we have to maintain a level of perspective. I understand that this was a hard trip. And, you know, there were moments where we played really, really good basketball. And there were moments that we didn't. And I think we learned from that. And tonight we were able to put a full 48 minutes together. And so it's just something that we got to continue.
Easy assessment. They kicked our behinds, starting with me. We all got our behinds kicked. There's nothing tricky or hidden behind what I'm saying. What's up, Logan? How you doing? They switched everything and turned us over.
That's the point-blank assessment of Mike Brown. It was an unmitigated disaster for the Kings, though they were still at least in the game until a surge by the Celtics to start that third quarter. A matchup in the East between the Cavaliers and the Nets in Brooklyn.
Gave it to Watanabe. His pass stolen by who? LeVert and to Mitchell. Pow! With the right hand. Donovan Mitchell with a thunderous dunk. And the Cavaliers are up 18. Rubio comes around an Allen screen. Out front, Mitchell. Quick three. Bullseye! Donovan Mitchell with 27. Mitchell up the left side. Stops. Three. Bang! Oh, my!
Wow.
Donovan Mitchell hit that one from the Manhattan Bridge.
I do love Donovan Mitchell. He's one of my favorite players to watch in the league. And 31 points in 37 minutes for him. But nothing that could top his insane dunk. And the athleticism, the explosiveness. Kind of fun to see him elevate and maybe flex his muscles a little bit. We don't see this from him a ton.
I looked at Vert, you know, and he just kept backing up. And, you know, I just felt good enough to try and get up there and then dunk it. And figured I'd just use my body and then just finish. And it worked out.
It was crazy. He said he'd done that before to him. So, I mean, I guess he had a flashback.
I guess he had a flashback, a moment of deja vu. Looking at the Eastern Conference, behind the Bucks, Celtics, and Sixers, the Cavs are sitting in fourth place. The Nets right now are in sixth, though they have lost 4 games in a row and trying to avoid that 7-10 tournament right now for Jacques Vaughn.
That's the message for our group, is just at a stretch right now where we got to make sure we pull things together, stay together. No doubt this group, we got good men in the locker room, but I think you remind them of all the good things they've done.
He is one of my favorites. I still say it was a total disaster for them not to make him the head coach following the the 2020 bubble and take that Steve Nash detour. But you know what? That's dubious Nets history. Now let's quick talk to Thomas, who's in Louisville. Thomas, you got about 2 minutes. Go ahead.
Hey, what's going on, Amy? So I've been a longtime Cavs fan since
early 2000s, even before LeBron, you know, back when they hit DeJuan Wagner and all them. And I just want to say, I was talking to a couple of people earlier, letting them know that I thought, you know, Cleveland had a, you know, was a dark horse to go to the finals just based on the fact, you know, that their roster, and I think they got a real good chance against either Boston or Milwaukee in a 7-game series. But the one team I was worried about in the playoffs was the 76ers, because I just think they're a bad matchup. And I think, you know, Boston, I think, is a poor bad matchup for Boston, I think. And, in Milwaukee, I think we could – I mean, we beat them when, you know, Giannis put up 45 against us. So I think that, you know, a 7-game series to go either way with Milwaukee, but, I would have them as a dark horse for the finals. I think just the way the roster shaped up, and their, you know, their guys from last year are all year older, and, you know, Garland and Mitchell and Okoro and Allen.
Well,
they
didn't have Jared Allen last year. That was a big deal.
Right. But I'm saying, like, as far as the other guys, you know, they're all year older, and they didn't, you know, really have to give up any pieces. So, I just want to get your thoughts on them and, you know, possible finals, and possible matchups in the playoffs, because I think anybody other than Philly is a good matchup for them in, you know, in the Eastern Conference playoffs, just based on, I just don't think we can stop Philadelphia. It's like I said, it's just a bad matchup for us. And
But why is that different than a very experienced recent champion in Milwaukee, actually, Thomas? I feel like they're a tough matchup, too, because of Giannis, but also because of the experience, their core that they bring into it, and they're likely to end up having the home court advantage. I do think the Cavaliers have some great pieces. I feel like at times, though, they don't play the full game, and I worry about lapses, but I love the Donovan piece. I love Caris LeVert, and, yes, Jared Allen healthy, so I wouldn't put it past him to make some noise. It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.